Masechus de Mai Perek Zayin Mishnah Vov until Masechus Kelayim Perek Aleph Mishnah Aleph. Just like in the previous few Mishnahs, we're going to discuss in our Mishnah where one tithes produce not physically but by designation, by saying words, a certain formula. And the main point of our Mishnah is to teach us, as we've already seen a couple of times, but here is really the source for this idea, that if one tithes produce on behalf of other produce, so meaning he separates tithes from one pile of produce but on behalf of another pile, he's able to do that as long as both piles are obligated in Maaseres. But he can't, for example, separate part of a pile which has already been tithed on behalf of an untithed pile of produce. So the Mishnah tells us, Ha'ilfonu shteika kolish shel tevel. If in front of him were two baskets of tevel produce, V'omar, and he said, Maaseres zoi bazoi. The Maaseres of this basket, basket A, should be in basket B. Meaning that the Maaseres which need to be separated from basket A are being separated from produce of basket B. In other words, he is separating produce from basket B on behalf of basket A. So since both baskets are obligated in Maaseres, Harishonim Maaseres, the first one, basket A, is indeed considered tithed, and he would separate those tithes from basket B. Now if he says, Shel zoi bo zoi, v'shel zoi bo zoi, the Maaseres which need to be separated from basket A are to be found in basket B, and the Maaseres which are to be separated from basket B are to be found in basket A. So over here, once again, Harishonim Maaseres, only basket A is considered tithed. Why? Because once basket A is tithed, so you can no longer separate produce from there on behalf of basket B, because basket A is no longer obligated, because it has already been tithed. Okay, and now third and final case of our Mishnah, what if he says, Maaseres Sehen, with regards to their Maaseres, Maaseres Kalkola Bachaverta. The Maaseres of a basket are to be found in the other basket. So this is much like the first case of our Mishnah, except that here he's not specifying which basket is which. So because of that, Koroshem, he has indeed called it a name, meaning he has designated the tithes, and we understand what he says to mean that he wants to separate tithes from one produce on behalf of both. And he can choose, because he didn't specify, he can choose, let's say, basket A, and I'll separate tithes from basket A on behalf of both basket A and basket B. Mishnah Zayin. This Mishnah is complicated. Nevertheless, we'll obviously try to understand it as best as possible. The focus of our Mishnah is when different types of produce, for example, Tevel, Chulin, Maisa, when they get mixed together. Now, the first thing we need to know is what we learned in the previous Mishnah, and that is that Chulin food, which is regular tithed food, since it's been tithed, that means that you cannot separate tithes from there on behalf of other untithed produce, because the Chulin has been tithed. Now the halacha is that if, let's say, chulin gets mixed up with tevel, and we're not sure which is the tevel produce, which is the chulin produce, even if they're totally mixed up and you can't tell at all, you're still able to tithe other produce from somewhere else on behalf of the tevel in this mixture, declare that you're tithing it, you're separating this on behalf of the tevel, and then the tevel will become chulin and the entire mixture will be permitted. The case in our Mishnah is where he doesn't have other produce to do this, and therefore he has to use the mixture itself and separate parts of that mixture in order to tithe it. Now, just like we say with regards to Demai, that the Maaseh Rishon and the Maaseh Oni, although they need to be separated, they do not need to be given to the Levi or the poor person, because they can only receive that if they can prove that they're entitled to it. So too, in a case where Tevel is mixed with Chulin, we'll take the first example, Me'or Tevel or Me'or Chulin, if 100 units of Tevel gets mixed with 100 units of Chulin, so really, had they not got mixed, only the Tevel needs to be tithed, so the Levi should only receive a tenth of the Tevel. So the Levi should only really receive 10 units of Maaseh Rishon. So if they get mixed together, that remains the same. The Levi only ever has a claim on a tenth of the Tevel produce. So he's not going to receive more than 10 units of Maaseh Rishon. However, the owner may still need to designate more than 10 units of Maaseh Rishon because it's mixed with some Chulin, as we will explain in a moment. Of course, this is not the case for Trumas Maaseh or Truma, since these cannot be eaten by a non-Kohen. Any time that he needs to designate it, he'll also need to give it to the Kohen, because he can't benefit from it himself. Now, the reason why he can't just separate the amount of tithes which need to be separated from the Tevel produce, so in our case where there's 100 units of Tevel, why can't he just separate 10 units of Maaseh Rishon, and 2 units of Truma, 1 unit of Trumas Maaseh, just take the normal amounts? Why can't you ignore the Chulin? And the answer is quite simply, because anything you take out of that produce is considered to be half chulin and half tevel. Because they're so mixed together that any produce you take out is considered half tevel, but half chulin. And we know that you can't use chulin to tithe other produce. So if that which you are taking out contains chulin, then it can't be used to tithe the tevel. So what should you do in such a case when 100 units of tevel are mixed with 100 units of chulin? And the answer is as follows. First, he should separate 100 units of that mixture. And of course, what will this 100 units be considered? Half tevel, half chulin. from that group of 100 units, he should then separate the normal tithes as if it was tevel. So he would separate 10 units of Maaser Rishon, which of course will be considered only 5 units of Maaser Rishon, because half of it will be Chulin. And then from that Maaser Rishon, the Levi should separate Trumas Maaser, 1 unit of Trumas Maaser, which of course is only really half a unit of Trumas Maaser. And by the way, I forgot to mention that we're talking about a case where the Truma Gedolah has already been separated. So that 2% which goes to the Kohen has already been separated, so we're only concerned about Trumas Maaser, and Maaser Rishon, and Maaser Sheni. So again, he would separate the normal tithes, but only half of them are considered real tithes, because half of them are considered chulin. Then he moves on to the next 100, and he does the same thing. He separates the normal tithes which one needs to separate from tevel. However, in this case, he does not need to give any more Maaser Rishon to the Levi. The Levi, as we said, will only ever get 10 units. The fact that it's mixed does not affect how much he will receive. However, it does still need to be designated. With regards to the Maaser Sheni, so since anyway he generally redeems Maaser Sheni onto money, it doesn't matter if the produce is mixed, because anyway he transfers it onto money. So you can just say that 10 units of the entire produce should become Maaser Sheni onto money. So really from the second 100, he does not need to separate any more Maaser Sheni. The Maaser Sheni is more separated from the entire mixture as one, and redeemed onto money. Alright, so far, he separated 20 units of Maaser Rishon, but of course half of it is Chulin, so only 10 of it is Maaser Rishon, but that's enough. The Levi only gets 10 units of Maaser Rishon, and that's all that needs to be separated from the Tevel. What about Trumas Maaser? So again, 1 unit of Trumas Maaser was separated from the first 100, and another unit was separated from the second 100. That's 2, but half of it is Chulin, which leaves 1 unit of Trumas Maaser, which is the amount which he needs to separate from the Tevel. That was 100 units of Tevel, and Trumas Maaser is 1/100th of the original produce. However, the Kohen will still receive 2 units of Trumas Maaser, because each individual unit which you separated is half Trumas Maaser. So you can't eat the entire unit, because you can't even eat a mixture of Trumas Maaser and Chulin, and therefore the Kohen would actually gain by receiving 2 units of Trumas Maaser instead of 1. Now, based on what we've said so far, one should only really need to separate 20 units for Maaser Rishon, 2 of which will be turned into Trumas Maaser, and then also 20 units of Maaser Sheni, only half of which will actually be considered Maaser Sheni. So that really comes to 40 units. However, the Mishnah tells us that Me'al Tevel Me'al Chulin, if 100 units of Tevel are mixed with 100 units of Chulin, Neitel Me'al Ve'echad, you need to take out of that 101 units. Why is that? So this is really the difficult bit to understand. Although every part of the produce which you take out is halachically half chulin and half tevel, in order to separate the Maaser Rishon from the tevel, we need to view 100 of them as the tevel part. We know there are 100 units of tevel in there, and therefore we have to separate 100 units out of the mixture, view that as tevel, even though really it's only half tevel, and then we can separate a 1/10 Maaser Rishon, a 1/10 Maaser Sheni, and a 1/100 Trumas Maaser. Now, if that 100 is viewed as tevel, that means that the other 100 is viewed as chulin. However, since halachically it's half tevel, you still need to designate the Maaser Rishon and the Maaser Sheni and the Trumas Maaser. However, we're not going to count the Maaser Rishon and the Maaser Sheni in the amount which you actually have to separate, because Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni you only have to designate from the second lot of 100. Because as we explained, Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni won't be more than 10. But remember, this is only how it is viewed, because halachically, you've only really separated 5 units of Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni from the first lot of 100, because half of it was chulin. So the other 5 do come from the second lot of 100. Halachically, it's just that we view it as all coming from the first 100 in that 1/10 which you separate from the first 100. Now, of course, 1 unit has to be separated from the second lot of 100 as well as Trumas Maaser, but that is because of what the halacha is, not how we view it, because we view the second 100 as chulin, so no Trumas Maaser has to be taken from there. The reason why we separate another Trumas Maaser is because of halachic reasons, that the 1 unit of Trumas Maaser which was separated from the first 100 is half chulin. So we separate another one which is half chulin, half Trumas Maaser, so that altogether it makes 1 unit of Trumas Maaser. Next case, Me'al Tevel Me'al Maaser. If there are 100 units of Tevel mixed with 100 units of Maaser Rishon, and the Trumas Maaser has not yet been separated from the Maaser Rishon, and Trumas Maaser is 1/10 of the Maaser Rishon. So if there are 100 units of Maaser Rishon, then 10 units of that need to be separated as Trumas Maaser. So the Mishnah says that just like in the previous case, Me'al Me'al Ve'echad, you have to separate out 101 units. Now the way we explain this in the first case of the Mishnah is that we're not looking at it from a halachic point of view, that halachically each unit is considered half chulin, or in this case half Maaser Rishon. Rather, we view the first 100 which you take out as the 100 of Tevel, and then the rest of it to be the 100 of Maaser Rishon in this case. But if that's the case, then you should have to separate 10 units of Trumas Maisa from the second lot of 100. Because the second lot of 100 is viewed as Maisa Rishon, and a tenth of that has to be separated as Trumas Maisa. And therefore, just like in the previous case, you have to combine this view with the halachic view. So really, each unit is half-half. And so we view the entire mixture as one, which means that since in this case, how much Trumas Maisa do you have to separate? So there's 10 for the Maisa Rishon 100, plus 1 for the Tevel 100. So that's 11 altogether. So all you need to do is separate 22 units of Trumas Maisa from the entire mixture, half of which will actually be halachic Trumas Maisa, and then give that to the Kohen. That's the Trumas Maisa aspect. You'd also have to separate Maisa Rishon, Maisa Sheni. But either way, you then have to separate altogether 101 so that we can have also that way that we view the 100 as Tevel and the other 100 as Maisa Rishon. And this is really the difficult thing to understand of our Mishnah, which the Mefarshim struggle with a lot and don't really explain very much. And that is that we need to fit in with both of these ways of looking at things. One is the way that we look at the entire mixture as one, and each unit is going to be considered half-half. And as well as that, we have to view it as if the first 100 is Tevel and the second 100 is Chulin or Maisa Rishon, whatever it may be. And so when you combine those two, then it comes out that you have to separate 101. Now you should note, by the way, that of this 101, he doesn't necessarily then separate the Maisa Rishon from it or the Trumas Maisa from it. Rather, within the 101 which he separates, is Trumas Maisa, is Maisa Rishon, etc. Which means that what he should do is sell the 101 units, which contain a number of Trumas Maisa units. In the first case of our Mishnah, it contains 1. In the second case of our Mishnah, it contains 11. So you should actually sell the 101 units to the Kohen, and the Kohen pays you the price of 101 units minus the Trumas Maisa, because the Trumas Maisa is meant to go to him anyway. He shouldn't have to pay for that. So the Kohen would pay, in the first case, 101 minus 1, so 100. And in the second case, he would pay 101 minus 11, so he'd pay for 90 units. Truth is, he actually can pay using the value of Truma, which is cheaper, but we're not going to go into that now. Alright, third case now. Meo chulin musukonim, meo maisa. If 100 units of fixed chulin, meaning regular chulin, normal produce, gets mixed with 100 units of Maisa Rishon. So in this case, we're actually stricter, and notel meo v'eser, he has to take 110. And the reason for this is because we view the chulin as if it were Maisa Rishon as well. Why we view it like that is very difficult to understand. For now, we'll take that as a given, that we're strict in this case, in that we view the chulin to an extent like the Maisa Rishon. Now, this means that if we view the first 100 as Maisa Rishon, and then you separate the tithes which are necessary from there, so Trumas Maisa, and then we move on to the next 100. So if we view the second 100 as Maisa Rishon as well, then 10 units have to be separated from there as Trumas Maisa. And that's why 110 units have to be separated as Trumas Maisa in this case, because we view that second lot of 100, instead of as Chulin, we view it as Maisa Rishon, which therefore requires 10 units of Trumas Maisa to be separated from it. Now, one possible reason for why we do view Chulin in this case as Maisa Rishon, whereas in the previous cases we didn't view the Tevel as Maisa, for example, is because Chulin is the final stage. That's when all the tithes have been separated and you can eat that as regular produce. So something like that, we're able to revert its status to what it was originally. We can put it back a stage or two and say that it should be considered like Maisa Rishon. But Tevel, that's the first stage. You can't say you should view Tevel as Maisa Rishon or something, because that's only a future stage in the tithing process. So therefore, only in this case do we view the Chulin 100 as really the Maisa Rishon 100 as well. So these are the three main cases of our Mishnah. Again, very difficult to understand. There are several questions which are raised on this understanding of the Mishnah, but this is the approach in general of many of the Mefarshim Mishnayos, such as the Baal Tanura, in explaining this Mishnah. When introducing this Mishnah, we mentioned that all of this only applies where he doesn't have other produce which he can use to tithe on behalf of the Tevel within this mixture, or on behalf of the Maisa which is in this mixture. But if he has other produce, then he can separate tithes from that produce on behalf of the Tevel, whatever he would have had to separate from the Tevel anyway. He doesn't have to give any extra at all. And the Mishnah extends this even to a case where there's more Tevel. If, let's say, we go with the first couple of examples of the Mishnah, where Tevel was mixed with Maisa, or Tevel was mixed with Chulin. If there's more Tevel than Chulin, then we can view that extra bit of Tevel as other produce, and therefore you wouldn't have to separate any extra Maisras. Says the Mishnah, if Meo Tevel Tishim Maisa, if 100 units of Tevel was mixed with 90 units of Maisa Rishon, or Tishim Tevel Shmoyne Maisa, if 90 units of Tevel was mixed with 80 units of Maisa Rishon, for example, then Lehif said Klum, he hasn't lost anything, meaning he would give the amount which he would have given had the mixture even not occurred. So if, for example, 100 Tevel was mixed with 90 Maisa Rishon, he would take from that mixture itself 1 unit of Trumas Maisa from the Tevel, 9 units for the Maisa Rishon, so altogether 10 units of Trumas Maisa, he would take that and give it to the Kohen. And indeed, in the example we gave, that is exactly how much extra Tevel there is above the Maisa. For example, 100 Tevel plus 90 Maisa, there's 10 extra units of Tevel, and that is exactly how much Trumas Maisa needs to be separated. And the mission summarizes, Zeha Klol, this is the rule, Koz Mancha Tevel Merube. Any situation where the Tevel makes out the majority of the mixture, and as we explained, the extra amount of Tevel also has to be at least the amount of Trumas Maisa which needs to be separated. But in that situation, Lehif said Klum, he doesn't lose out on anything, meaning he doesn't have to give any extra Trumas Maisa, which he wouldn't have had to give had the Tevel not been mixed with the Chulin or Maisa. Mishnah Ches, if somebody separates Maisa Rishon from a particular barrel of wine on behalf of other barrels of wine, but he's not sure which one he took the Maisa Rishon from. So from the point of view of the Maisa Rishon, that's not really a problem, because a non-Levi can eat Maisa Rishon, and therefore you can really separate it from any of the barrels. As long as you just give 10% to the Levi, you fulfill your obligation of Maisa Rishon. So you can take from any barrel and give it to the Levi. However, you can't do that because of the Trumas Maisa in there, because Trumas Maisa is forbidden to a non-Kohen to eat. And therefore you need to know which barrel you designated as Maisa Rishon, because within the Maisa Rishon is Trumas Maisa, and you cannot benefit from that barrel. So the Mishnah tells us, Misha Hoyulo Eser Shurois, one who has 10 rows, shall Eser Kadayayin, each row containing 10 barrels of wine. So you've basically got a large square of barrels, 10 barrels by 10 barrels, so that altogether there are 100 barrels. V'omarani says, Shuro Hachitzono Achas Maisa, a barrel in one of the outer rows should be Maisa Rishon, and he specified a specific outer row. Now if, let's say, we label each corner of this large square of barrels, there are four corners, 1, 2, 3, 4. So one outer row would be going from 1 to 2. Another one would be going from 2 to 3. And he knows that he designated one of the outer barrels as Maisa Rishon, but he's not sure v'ein yodua ezohi. He's not sure which row. Now it's important to realize that he didn't yet designate the actual barrel. Rather, he said that I will separate Maisa from a barrel in a specific row. And he specified the row, but not the barrel. So there's a choice of four different rows that it could be. So the Mishnah says, cleverly, Neitel Shtei Chavyos Leichson. He should take, as the Maisa Rishon, two diagonal barrels. Meaning he should take a barrel in one corner, and another barrel in the opposite corner, diagonal from that corner. And in this way, he's already covered all four rows. Because each diagonal is the end of two different rows. Now what happens if he says, Chatzi Shur HaChitzon Achas Maisa? He knows that he designated half an outer row as Maisa Rishon. He didn't specify the barrel, but he specified that a half outer row, so meaning, let's say, in one of the outer rows, either the first five barrels in that row, or the last five barrels. But it's a group of five barrels this time. But again, the Einod Dua Ezohi, he's not sure which half row he designated. He only knows that it's a half row on the outer edge of this square of barrels. So here, he can't just take two diagonal barrels, because the rows are shorter. There are now eight different rows, really, or eight different half rows, which it could be. And in order to make sure that he has a barrel from each of those half rows, Neitel Arba Chovios Mi Arba Zoviyos, he should take four barrels from all four corners. And if you think about it, that way he is guaranteed to have taken the correct barrel, because he has a barrel in every one of the half rows. Again, each of the barrels covering two half rows. Third case, Shur Achas Maisa. If he designated one row as Maisa Rishon, meaning a barrel in one of the rows, and he specified the row but not the barrel, but again, Ve'in Yodua Ezohi doesn't know which row he specified, but this time it's not just the outer row, it could be any of the rows. So Notel Shur Achas Leichson, he should take an entire row diagonally, and that way he has a barrel in every one of the rows in both directions. If he just takes one barrel from each row in a straight line, then he hasn't covered every row in both directions, he's only covered one direction. But if he takes it diagonally, then whether you go in a north to south direction or an east to west direction, he's covered every single row, and therefore he must have separated a correct barrel as Maisa. Fourth case, Chatzi Shur Achas Maisa. If what he specified was one half row, so now the Einodua Ezohi, he's not sure which one, so in this case, Neitel Shtei Shurois Leichson, he should take an entire row times two diagonally. So he should do the same as before, but also the other direction diagonally. So barrels going from corner 1 to corner 3, and barrels going from corner 2 to corner 4, thus making sure he's taken a barrel from every single half row. Okay, fifthly and finally, Chovis Achas Maisa. If he designated one barrel as Maisa, he has no idea which barrel it is, and he has no indication of which one it is, then notum kol Chovis Chovis. He has to separate from every single barrel the Trumas Maisa. He has to take a tenth of every single barrel and give that to the Kohen, and it's really his fault for not making sure he knew which one he separated and designated. And again, be clear that the concern here is about Trumas Maisa, which is forbidden for a non-Kohen, and the concern is not really the Maisa Rishon itself, because a non-Kohen could technically eat that, keep it himself, and just give the Levi a different barrel. But because of the Trumas Maisa which is within it, he has to make sure that whichever one he did designate, indeed the Trumas Maisa does go to a Kohen from that one. Folik Maseches Demai, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. Let's now move on to Maseches Kelayim, and Kelayim means a mixture, where you mix two different things together, and essentially there are three different categories of Kelayim. The first one, which is what takes up most of the Masechta, pretty much the first seven parokim of the Masechta, and that is Kelayim of the field. The Torah says, Sodcho l'sizra Kelayim, you shall not plant Kelayim in your field, and that refers to the prohibition of planting two different seeds together to produce a plant, some sort of edible plant, which is a combination of those two different seeds. Now within this category, there's a more severe prohibition, and that is planting another seed in a vineyard. If you plant, let's say, a seed of wheat within a vineyard, that is called Kilei HaKerem, Kelayim of a vineyard, and whereas with regular Kelayim of seeds, although it's forbidden to plant it, or even to allow it to grow in your field, once it has grown, you can benefit from it, and you will be able to eat it. However, when it comes to Kilei HaKerem, Kelayim of the vineyard, it's forbidden to even benefit from it after it's been planted. So the halachas of Kelayim in a vineyard are actually quite different to regular Kelayim. They're much more severe, much more strict. And that is the focus of Perek Dalad Hei Vov and Zayin. Now I should mention as well that included in this Kelayim of the field is also not only planting seeds together, but also grafting different types of produce together. Meaning once they've grown, to tie branches together, for example, so that two different species fuse together to make one larger plant, that is also part of this Kelayim of the field. Now the second category of Kelayim is Kelayim of animals, and once again this is split into two types. One is interbreeding different species of animals. The Torah says, Behemt cholus arbia kelayim. You cannot mate two different species of animals, because again, that is kelayim. And the second part of this category of kelayim is not to work two different species of animals together. The Torah's example of this is Lo sachrish b'chshor v'chama yachdov. You can't have an ox and a donkey ploughing a field together. But this would really apply to any work, and any animals. Two different species of animals cannot do work together. And finally, the third category of Kelayim is what is known as Shatnas. The Torah says, Le'silba Shatnes Tzemer Afishtim Yachdov. You cannot wear Shatnas, which is wool and linen together. So any garment which contains both wool and linen, that is the Kelayim which applies to clothes, and is forbidden. So again, we've got three categories of Kelayim. Number one is Kelayim of the field, and this is split into Kelei Zeroim, which is the Kelayim of all seeds and grains. And by the way, trees are not included in that. And the second part of that is Kelei HaKerem, which is Kelayim specifically of a vineyard. And I guess the third part of the Kelayim of the field, which does apply even to trees, would be grafting, fusing different branches together. The second category of Kelayim is Kelayim of an animal. That includes interbreeding animals and working animals together. And the third and final category is Kelayim of clothes, which is specifically wool and linen. Now the first perek of our Masechta is going to list lots of different pairs of seeds, pairs of animals, pairs of trees, and these are all examples of what are considered the same type of species, and what are considered different types of species. Because for example, two different types of wheat, you are allowed to plant those together, because they're the same species. It's only something like wheat and barley, because they're totally different species, so that would come under the prohibition of Kelayim. Now, what exactly defines what is considered part of the same species is subject to discussion. The Rambam explains that there are two main things which we look at. One is the shape of the plant, so that includes the shape of the leaves and the shape of the fruit, the shape of the actual produce which is eaten. And the other thing we look at is the taste of the produce. Now, if the shape of the whole plant is very, very similar, then even if the taste is dissimilar, they are still considered the same type of species, and therefore you could plant them together, they would not be Kelayim. If the shape is totally different, then even if the taste is the same, they would be considered two different species, so planting them together would be considered Kelayim. Now if the shape of the plant is similar to each other, but not quite the same, then it depends on the taste. If they taste very similar, then they're considered the same species. If they don't taste similar, then they are considered different species and therefore cannot be planted together. All of the different examples of species which we're going to mention and say whether they are Kelayim together or not, that will be based on these two criteria, the shape and the taste. The Mishnah begins, Hachitim v'azunin, inon Kelayim ze bo ze. wheat and zunin are not kilayim together, meaning you can plant wheat seeds and zunin seeds right next to each other. If they're not kilayim, that means that they are considered the same species, the different types of that same species. Zunin is some sort of very inferior wheat grain, or possibly it just very often grows with wheat, so they're considered part of the same species, and therefore can be planted right next to each other. As well as that, has se'orim v'shebeles shu'ol. Barley and oats, those two can also be planted together. Hakusman v'ashifon, spelt and rye, those can be planted together. Hapul v'asapir, pul is some sort of small bean, and sapir is some sort of pea. Again, they're similar. Haprogdon v'atoifach, these are two types of peas. Uful halovin v'ashu'is, a white bean and some sort of other bean. Enum climbs there, are not kilayim with each other, meaning each pair which we mentioned can be planted with each other. So spelt can be planted with rye, for example, but spelt would not be able to be planted with wheat or with the beans. It's only the two things in each pair which can be planted together.